everyone. The Carolina Outdoors is in session. If this is your first time ever listening to the Carolina Outdoors, here's a heads up. We're promoting you to get outside, to be outdoors. We hang our hats over at Jesse Brown's Through the Week, where we help outfit people for local adventure and travel, as well as sending them on global excursions all over the world. I'm Bill Barty, and glad to be here, but alongside me, help join me in welcoming Wes Lawson to the program.
Good morning, Bill. It's good to be here.
Well, Wes, you play a big part of outfitting all of these people, and that's part of our exciting news, at least this week on the Carolina Outdoors, as we have been outfitting people for doing things locally, which we've talked continuously about because of COVID-19 and that sort of thing. But report from the outfitter. We have had a lot of people continue to come in for local adventure, especially fly fishing. A lot of people are getting into that sport, as well as conventional fishing as well. But Wes, we've had people come in who are either right now heading west out, and when I say that, I mean getting on airplanes, which is kind of a light at the end of a tunnel for us adventurers who want to break out of the confines just of the Carolinas, going places, whether it be fishing, the Grand Canyon. We had several people coming into Jesse Brown's doing those type trips.
You know, Bill, they heeded the call. They went west, young man, and they're out there or they're about to get out there for those fishing trips, maybe Grand Canyon, maybe Bryce Canyon, Arches. Those trips are happening. We've outfitted several young people for Knowles trips, for youth adventure programs. We've got some Boy Scouts that are coming in. And then people who are heading south into the heat and the humidity of the subtropics, going fishing in the Keys. That is back on. The Keys are open now. So if you're a saltwater angler, one of your big seasons is happening right now. All of that's happening. It's a lot of fun when you're outfitting one person for the desert and one for the tropics.
Well, one more reason to be glad that we are here. It's all been primarily domestic travel, so note that. Not a lot of international, which normally here in Charlotte, where we have an airport that goes all over the world, we're fortunate to be able to outfit people for big trips like that. None of that's really broken out, but domestic travel. Tarpon, we've gotten some tarpon pictures in from the Keys, a wonderful season happening there now that the Keys is open and all over Florida. Anyway, all of that just to say, is it summertime in the Carolinas? And one of the noises of the Carolinas in the evening at dusk is the cicadas. And as we have helped people outfit for some of these fishing trips, and Wes, we've talked about it the past couple of weeks. We've kind of gotten on ncwildlife.org and talked about the hatch schedule and how these bugs in the water column affect what the fish are eating. We want to talk a little bit about the terrestrials that come up from the land, from the ground, which is where these cicadas come from. But we've had several people come in looking for patterns to mimic the cicada as they prepare for something that doesn't happen that often. It's an infrequent hatch of the cicada upcoming.
You know, Bill, cicadas really are pretty fascinating, and yet it is one of those sounds of the summertime for us. If you live just outside of the city, or most cities in the south, even up the mid-Atlantic, actually every continent but Antarctica, at some point you've probably heard that loud sound. There are few insects that are louder than the cicada. But we have this argument here amongst our staff. We have it at home sometimes. They'll say there's that 17-year hatch. In my mind, I keep thinking, well, we just had cicadas last year. You find their exoskeletons at the base of hardwood trees, maybe near your rose bushes, if you're like me, on the top of your vehicle. Well, there are two kinds of cicadas, really, that we're talking about. There's the annual hatch. We see them or hear them every year. And then there's a brood that comes every 13 to 17 years. And that's what we're talking about. It's that sort of super cicada hatch. Those bugs have been in nymph form for over a decade, and they're burrowing out now. Those things are 8 feet underground on average, and they burrow out to feed off of the xylem in the trees. Go way back to your middle school, your high school science class. They're not likely to cause problems to you other than they can cause hearing damage because they're so loud. But anglers are excited because those fish that are just chomping at the bit for some protein are getting a mouthful with cicadas.
Yeah, that's something I learned really preparing for this conversation is, and I learned one of them is the noisemakers of the cicada family are the males, and they are the loudest insect, at least in the United States by far. You can hear their shrill call for up to a half a mile away. So I found that interesting. But not only do they excite the fish and the anglers because of their excitement to the fish, these things are like the morsels of the animal kingdom. Everybody apparently gets excited because this is a chance for wildlife. It, even people can eat cicadas, but wildlife, I won't sit here and try to name every raccoon, squirrel, I mean, all of these animals, but when this hatch happens, everybody gets to eat. Now, cicadas' lifespan, 14 to 50 days, which after this 17 years pupating in the ground, it comes up from the soil and heads into the plants and into the trees. And of course, the life cycle, 14 to 50 days. And that 14 to 50 days, depending on how many they actually get to live, is made up of mating, laying eggs, shedding that exoskeleton that you mentioned, and dying. That is the life of a cicada. But it's happening, or going to happen. We're in preparation for it. Reports are Virginia, the hatch is occurring, and it's about to occur here in the Carolinas. We're talking cicada hatch here on the Carolina Outdoors with Wes Lawson and Bill Barty. Wes, is it going to be even noisier this summer?
You know, Bill, it probably will be noisier because we do have our annual hatch, but then we will probably have some part of that 13 or 17 year brood hatching. It may not be in full effect like it is in North Carolina, but I bet a lot of folks are going to have a memorably loud summer because of the cicada. You know, you touched on the importance of this in the food chain, including for people. And I know that makes some folks nervous because we're going to talk about bugs being eaten by people, but it's a great source of protein. It's still eaten throughout the world by people. And at important times, the Onondaga, some of the original Iroquois Nation people, had a large feast every year during the cicada hatch. It was one of their most important gatherings because of cicadas. Now, they've also historically been known by other names, including the dog day bug, because go back to when we were children, people would talk about the dog days of summer. And like you and I thought, dog day meant so hot, you know, dogs are laying in the shade. It goes back to the Greeks when Orion would pass through the sky. The next big star coming up is Sirius and Canis Major. So dogs, when the dog was in the sky, they knew summer was coming. The ancient Egyptians knew when that star was up, the Nile was going to flood again. So it triggered those things. And then in came the cicadas. They liked them for their look. They liked them for their durability, and they loved them for their taste and for the protein. They maybe didn't know what protein was, but they knew that they could eat those and go a long way without having to slaughter livestock. So they've been around for that long, if not longer. They show up in the Iliad, which predates the stories I just told. So it's been in literature for thousands and thousands of years. I don't think they're going away, and odds are they were loud then.
So, you know, sometimes they're recognized as pests, but these are not true pests, really. They're not that destructive to even crops or that. They're more of a protein-rich animal for other animals to eat, including, people. I guess, people. Yeah, so we have that to look forward to as well. I love that we're living history. Now, I guess it happens every 17 years so we get to participate in this type of hatch several times in a normal lifetime. Much better thing to live through when you're living through history than a pandemic, which is not nearly as much fun as sitting by a campfire or on your back porch or front porch or wherever you may be, if you're in the suburbs or in the country or somewhere like that, to enjoy the summertime noises that the cicada always bring to us.
Well, you know, it's sort of like it's nature's version of rain on a tin roof. And if you've never gotten to sleep through rain on a tin roof, you're missing out. Just like now, in a couple of weeks, you'll open that window or that back door and you're going to be hit by that wall of sound that drowns out everything else, except maybe my dogs barking at you. But that's okay. That's nature just being nature. This is going to be a fun time. And yeah, it is an interesting time to be alive. I'd rather it be cicadas right now than locusts.
So true. So that might be something for clarification too, because locust, more bad news. Yeah. Cicada, not a locust. That is something that they are oftentimes confused about. Of course, cicadas, we need, for people who may not know, to share the size of the bug that we are talking about. These things can be 2 to 3 inches in length. So they are sizable. And if you're just joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, the voice over there, Wes Lawson, I'm Bill Barty. We are here promoting the outdoors by talking about bugs, insects that is, and we're talking about the 17-year cicada hatch that we are about to celebrate this summer. So as we started this segment of the Carolina Outdoors, we mentioned the sounds of summer. They're going to be a little bit louder with the addition of these hatchlings coming from the ground and again into the plants, into the trees. Wes, something else that we need to note is the anglers. And I know you were in Jesse Brown's this week talking to anglers about the patterns that they may consider, the fly patterns, that is, that they may consider to mimic these terrestrials as they come off. What's the closest thing that we have that looks like a cicada? Is it the grasshopper patterns?
You know, that's a great question. So you could be looking at some of those grasshoppers or even the crickets. Any of the Chernobyls, because of their size, would be good. But then what we here would think of like stimulators or a really big stonefly out west, they call it a salmon fly. Those are getting similar in size. Things like zonkers, except that's going to be in a different place in the water. So I'd be going for kind of that same size. But really, if the fish is going for a cicada, he or she is probably still also going for those other things, those terrestrials like crickets, emergers like the stoneflies, hoppers, which we haven't quite gotten to yet. That brief overlap period when you have cicadas still and grasshoppers is a great time to be bird watching and fishing. And that's going to be in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, for the anglers, I wouldn't change anything just yet. Just add cicadas to your quiver.
It reminds me of, we talked about it on the Carolina Outdoors earlier this spring, I'll say, because in North Carolina, or in the Carolinas, trout streams, there's a thing called the Green Drake Hatch. Usually it's in mid to latter May that occurs. And you think the Green Drake, it's a fly that comes off the water at dusk or so, right as the spring becomes evening, Green Drake Hatch occur. The trout love it. They'll eat it like it's marshmallows or s'mores, jumping all over it. However, here in the Carolinas, a green drake fly isn't really green. It's more of a white-ish pattern, kind of like a white royal wolf would mimic it. So as you walked us through those terrestrial patterns, it makes me think of what the fish may see or what we here may see compared to what the fish see, and how you do have some variation that you're able to choose from as far as the patterns that we have at Jesse Brown's that are made to mimic these patterns in nature.
Well, and that's exactly right. But I'd also say if you have questions like that, or this is all too much because we're using words that don't make sense, stop by or give us a call and we'll help get you ready. Don't let things like nymph, merger, terrestrial, green drake, royal wolf, salmon fly scare you away. We're here to help get you on the water having a great time catching as many fish as you can.
The foreign language of fly fishing. Of course, you need to have your 7.5 foot 4X leader with your 5X tippet casting those woolly buggers. It can be intimidating. So, yeah, just give us a shout. Come by. That's the best thing. We are wide open at Jesse Brown's. Again, outfitting people for the outdoors all over the Carolinas, here in the Charlotte area, and beyond. We just posted, I'm glad you mentioned about the dog days and what that meant from an astrology aspect. Did I get that right? I don't want to get astronomy and astrology mixed up too much. But anyway, I'm glad you mentioned that because we just had somebody posted on the Jesse Brown's Facebook page, which we invite you to go check out. As Wes, as Bill, the Carolina Outdoors Program comes in each week to join and promote you being outdoors. The Jesse Brown's Facebook page is a place where we can post your fishing pictures, your excursions, but also little quick notes. And we posted an article by a young lady who, it's a sizable article about Kings Mountain State Park in South Carolina, and right alongside it, Kings Mountain National Military Park. We talk so frequently about it because it is in our own backyard. Wes, she lists it as one of the best places in South Carolina to view the stars, to view the sky.
Well, and you know, bless her heart for saying so. You know, I'm not going to discount it. There may be some places that might be a little bit more clear. But if you're in Charlotte, that's a great place to go. It is closer. The places I might think of are going to be a little bit farther away. But good for her for thinking that. She drove by some really great places to look at the stars on her way down. But, you know, I think the good people of the Palmetto State will agree it's a nice place to see the sky.
It's a place to learn history, too, your Revolutionary War history. You may remember that from Mother's Day. That's where I got lost on a hike with my mother. So we don't have to delve too far into that memory, but that reminds me that Father's Day is coming up. So that's another good reason to talk fly fishing, talk gifts, talk complimentary gift wrapping, all of that we have at Jesse Brown's. We're going to take a quick break, come back and do a summary of the Carolina Outdoors this week. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Bartee. Stay tuned for the finale of the Carolina.